Good morning. We invite you to stand with us as we worship on this day. Welcome to Dayton Mennonite Church. We're happy to have you here worshiping with us this morning. This first song, Psalm 46, is a song that is near and dear to a lot of people on the team and in this church. So let's worship the Lord together with this song.
Burns the chariots with fire. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath.
Final song again is one that we've been singing a lot, Grace. So we invite you to join with us on this as well. That
sword, and now I freely walk into the arms of Christ my Lord.
You may be seated.
Can everyone say amen to that? Amen. Beautiful worship set. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in that way. I would like to, for a call to worship, read a few verses from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and giving him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. This morning we're blessed to have the Gideon ministry with us this morning, and I just thought that I think one of the goals of the Gideon ministry is to help people to their knees before death, before eternity comes, instead of after, which we just read that will take place. Inevitably, we will be brought to our knees, but I just appreciate the Gideon ministry and the heart behind it. We're going to have a prayer for the offering, and then after the offering, Brother Larry Trissel, who is also part of the Gideons, is going to have a prayer for Brother Bob as he brings a message or give an introduction. So let's, if the ushers would come forward, we'll have the morning prayer for the Gideon ministry offering. And Brother Joe's going to lead us a song during the offering. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that your word is truth and that we can depend upon it to be accurate and correct and infallible. We thank you for the Gideon ministry. We pray for each brother or sister that's part of this ministry, that as the Gideon, as they place the testaments in these hotel rooms or wherever it may be, that your word would go forth and that it would bear much fruit. Bless now the gift and the giver. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the Zion's praises, please turn to number 527. Number 527, all the way that my Savior leads me.
Thank you.
Good morning. I thank God for the opportunity to, as a Gideon, to be here this morning. And I'd just like to share with you that we Gideons have a conference call every Sunday morning starting at 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock. We have a prayer time. We have a sharing time. And we mention every church in our area every Sunday. And we have close to 100 churches that we remember by name every Sunday. So as a group of men, we're committed to Jesus Christ, that the word will get out. As we lift up each church and each pastor, it's our goal that God may be glorified. And I just want to say, too, there's five of us Gideons in the church, and we'd love to have more of you. There's Leon Rhodes, Blaine Showalter, Buff Showalter, Rich Rhodes, and myself, and we'd love to have more of you join us. I'd like to now introduce our speaker, Dr. Bob Hill. He's a veterinarian here in the Dayton area, and he's been a Gideon. He's actually our camp president, and he's also a speaker. And I also wanted to say that Leon was supposed to be at Briar Branch this morning to the Brethren Church, and he has laryngitis and was unable to be there, and we have a gentleman coming from Augusta County, a camp in Augusta County, coming to take his place there, but I want to remember him in prayer as well this morning. And okay, Brother Bob, would you come forward, and I want to have prayer with you. Kind Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning, and I thank you for Brother Bob that can be with us. Lord, would you just give him the words and the thoughts that what he says and does might be for your name's honor and glory. We want to pray for the Briar Branch Church. It's being attended by Cecil Wright from Augusta County, who will be giving the presentation there. Be with Leon and give him health and bring his voice back. And Lord, I just too want to pray for the Gideons around the world that you might be glorified, you might be lifted up, and every Bible that's given out around the world may show fruit, Father, may be fruitful. Lord, we just pray for our country and all those who have received the Bibles over the years that your word might go out to many people. We ask this all in Jesus' name and for your sake. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Quite often at our camp meetings, which is monthly, or at a convention, we're eager to hear testimonies of what God's word has done in someone's life. And so this morning, I'd like to start things off with a testimony, and it'll speak for itself.
Woo! Where you at, Mama? We don't have this many people in Georgia. Amen. Wow. Boy, it's so good to see all of you out tonight. And it is such an honor for us to be here in your presence. You see, my life started off on the wrong road. I got hurt real bad in the first grade. I thought everybody hated me, and I hated everybody. I got in trouble with the law at age 8 years old. I was arrested on an attempted murder charge. But back then, all they did with young people is slap them on the back of their hand and tell them to go home. But I grew up as a criminal for 40 years of my life. I broke every law that could be broken, committed almost every crime that could be committed, ran the largest drug operation in the United States. And in 1975, in October, the first assassination attempt was made on my life. There's been five of them. I was laying in a hospital, 33 years old, with a bullet through my body, not knowing if I was going to live or die. My mom and dad came running in, and for the first time in my life, I heard them say words I'd never heard them say before when they said, "Son, I love you." Now, I knew my mom and dad loved me. That was never a question. They just never told me. And you see, I don't believe there's a greater force on this earth other than divine power than the three little words, I love you. And if you think I'm kidding you, I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you. Husbands, make sure you turn to your wife. And I want you to look them right in the windows of their soul and say to them, I love you. Would you do that right now? I love you, hon. You see the joy that brings. You can't look at someone and say to them, I love you. Doesn't work. And Gideons and auxiliaries, I want to stand before you tonight with a heart running over with joy because I love you. I love you because of what God has called you into. A ministry of putting the Word of God in the cesspools of our society. My wife was assassinated, my son kidnapped, homes burned, my daughter almost beaten to death. And in 1980 or 1979, my wife, because of who I was brutally assassinated. In October of 1980, I was arrested for first-degree murder. I was told I would die in the electric chair, and I lived under that for 2 years. We had a judge that had agreed to vacate my sentence. I was supposed to be released from prison September the 24th, 1982. But by 6 o'clock that afternoon, I realized I wasn't getting out. So I called my attorneys. They told me that the judge had been pulled off of my case, and the other judge said if he had to say so about it, I'd die in the electric chair. There's no way he's letting me out of prison. That made me very angry, and I thought in my mind and in my heart, when I walk out this building, the next person that speaks to me, I'm going to do everything I can to kill him, because after all, they can't electrocute me twice. I stormed out a dormitory door, and the first person that spoke to me was Jesus Christ, and you can't kill him. You know, they did one time. They killed him, hung him on a cross, and buried him, but he wouldn't stay dead. Amen? I had a desire, because God said to me, Bill, you've had everything the world has to offer, and look where it got you. I wish I could tell you right here the Holy Ghost spoke to lightning, come out of the sky, hit me in the top of the head, little demons went running in every direction, but it didn't happen that way. The only thing I can tell you is I had an urge to go up to the chapel. I'd never been up to the chapel, but I went. I didn't go in the sanctuary. I went in the chapel library, and laying on a table in that prison library was a little brown Gideon Testament like this one I hold in my hand. I was drawn to it. Didn't know anything about the Bible except John 3:16, and the only reason I knew that is about a week before I was watching a football game. Some guy standing behind the goalpost holding up a sign said John 3:16. Of course, I thought it was the odds on the game. You know, bet on John. The odds are 3-16 he's going to win. But I picked that little Gideon Testament up. I found John 3:16, and I read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I looked that word up, whosoever, in the Greek one day. You know, it still means anybody. I said, God, if you're real, give me something worth living for. Instantly, he inspired me to commit a crime. I stole that little Gideon Testament out of the prison library. It became my life. I kept it hid in my cell for about 30 days, and one day the meanest sergeant in the prison walked in my cells, hollered, shakedown. My heart jumped up to here. He threw my mattress against the wall. The little Bible fell out on the floor. He picked it up. He looked through it. And he said, say, why do you have your Bible hid? And I was faced with a major issue here. If I lied to him and he found it out, I'd get 5 years. Here's how you know you're real, ladies and gentlemen. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and he will always convict you before you commit a sin. And he spoke to my heart and said, Bill, you're a reasonably intelligent guy. How do you think he got all those stripes on his shoulder? By being stupid? You'd best tell him the truth. And I did. I said, Sergeant, I stole that little Bible out of the prison library. He looked at me kind of strange as he handed it back to me, and he said, "Say, don't you know that's what them Gideons put them in there for you guys to take?" I said, "Whoo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah." Man, I don't have to go to prison again. It became my life. And on September the 24th, 1982, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. In March of 1983, God spoke to my heart and called me to be an evangelist, said, "I want you to go all over this nation, preach my gospel, tell people about my love and my forgiveness, and you tell them I didn't work up a sweat to save you. I got no problem saving them." I said, "I'll go wherever you send me, Lord. There's two things I won't do. I don't want to beg for money, and I don't want to beg for speaking engagements." He said, "You go, I'll supply." And ladies and gentlemen, for 33 years, I've crisscrossed this nation preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling people about your ministry. Because you see, in 1993, for 10 years, I'd been out preaching, but I had hatred in my heart for the man that set up the assassination of my wife. And I would tell people, if I ever run up on him, I will kill him. And I'm out preaching. December 1983, my phone rang. It was a man named Reno. He was in a restaurant right up the street, and he wanted to talk to me. My blood turned to ice water, and Satan said, "Kill him." I went up there with all intentions of killing, but I forgot I had a little Gideon testament in my back pocket. And when I sat down in that chair, it felt like I was sitting on a hard rock, you know? And God spoke to my heart and said, "Now you know what you need to do to bless your ministry." Because you see, Reno was the man that set up the assassination of my wife. He was a man that made a deal with law enforcement that sent me to prison and almost cost me my life in the electric chair. Satan said, "Kill him." I stood to my feet. I walked around the table. I put my arms around him and caressed him to my breast. Looked him right in the windows of his soul and said, "Reno, I forgive you. And through Jesus, I love you. And Jesus loves you, Reno. And if you'll give your life to him, you won't have to go to hell and fry like bacon, and I'll see you in heaven one day." I walked out of that place. 3 months later, my phone rang. It was Reno. He wanted me to know he went to church Sunday and gave his life to Jesus Christ. Gideons and auxiliaries, all of this took place because you care enough to send the very best. Don't ever give up. Don't slow up. There are thousands of men and women like Bill Say who are dying and going to hell every day because they don't have a copy of the word. You speed up, you stand up, and you speak up and place the word of God where no one else can go. I want to thank you, and God bless you for having me.
We Gideons are Christian businessmen who, with our wives who make up the auxiliary, are members of local churches. Our sole purpose is to win men and women, boys and girls, to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through the distribution of God's word and personal witnessing. We're an extended arm of the local church, able to reach around the world into over 200 countries, distributing over 45 million scriptures in 109 languages last year. Just recently, the 2.5 billionth testament has been distributed since our founding over 120 years ago. With over 12,000 local camps around the world, we're often able to reach in areas where missionaries often can't reach. As the Apostle Paul writes from prison in 2 Timothy 2:19. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. While Gideons are not welcome in the countries of Iraq and Iran and North Korea, we have camps nearby in South Korea, Israel, Jordan, Turkey, and the United Arab Emirates, to name a few. The door's even cracked open a little bit in communist China, where we have distributed over 9 million scriptures in the past few years. Locally, God's word is not chained at JMU, Bridgewater College, where we hold distributions annually. Last fall, we were able to distribute over 1,500 scriptures, and we give thanks that we've had open doors there for many years. We continue to pray that we might have those open doors. We hear thanks for what you do from students, staff, and faculty. We encounter many foreign students who accept a copy of God's word. Our prayer is always that the word would be read. When we know that, we know the Holy Spirit is able to reach into their lives and work a miracle. We believe the words of Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to separate soul and spirit, bone and marrow, rightly discerning the attitudes of our heart. While we don't have access to our public schools, we target 5th through 12th graders at the Rockingham County Fair, where we're able to give out over 1,000 testaments last August. We distribute at the TA Baccalaureate service, as well as provide life books for free to youth leaders. These are for youth to give to youth. Life books are the Gospel of John or Mark, written with side comments from teenagers, much like you might hear a conversation in school or church. And I've placed some on the back table back there for you to look or take, but this would be great for your youth. These are made to be handed out at school, and they're available free, many as you like. This past year, for the first time, Gideons from each of our three Rockingham County camps visited each weekday religious education class in the county and distributed pocket testaments to all the rising fifth graders. We're able to sit in, observe a class, and then explain the work of the Gideons at the end. In these testaments comes the helps, some of life's problems in the front with scripture, and the plan of salvation in the back, and a place to sign your name when you make that commitment. After we were finished, one fourth grader approached us and wanted to give his life to Jesus. As my wife and I prayed silently, a fellow Gideon led him through, step by step, the scripture plans and help, asking each time if he knew what Amen. At the end, he wanted a pen so he could sign his name. For me, I caught a glimpse of what heaven must be like in rejoicing over a new believer, one new believer. As we distribute or place God's word, we realize every testament is much like a seed that is planted and has eternal value and the ability to change a life for eternity. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells the parable of the sower and the seed that falls on different soils. You may recall that the seed that fell on the path was eaten by the birds. The seed that fell on the rocky soil sprang up, but later withered when the sun came out. Some seed fell among thorns and was choked out. But some seed fell on good soil, and it grew up and yielded 30, 60, even 100-fold. Quite often in the Gideon ministry, we hear testimonies like Bill say, from those at the end of the rope, seemingly beyond redemption in their own minds, and how the word of God leads them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Many go into the ministry and produce that hundredfold yield that Jesus spoke about. Your support of the Gideons through your prayers and gifts gets the word out with a witness. For $1.60, you can place a scripture and change a life around the world. Did you know more Christians are killed for their faith in Nigeria than anywhere else in the world? This is what happened when a brave believer named Elizabeth began giving away copies of the New Testament provided by you through the Gideons. And she did it right under the noses of the Boko Haram terrorists who had ravaged her village. God has promised in Isaiah 55:11 that his word will always accomplish his purpose. So is my word, which goeth forth out of my mouth, it will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I desire and the purpose for which I sent it. Elizabeth, an auxiliary member, and her husband, a Gideon, were forced to flee with their family when the dreaded soldiers of death, Boko Haram, attacked her village one night. Many of her fellow villagers and relatives were killed. They returned home several months later, only to find the terrorists had burned every church in the area and armed soldiers roamed the streets of her village. Some were the military, but Elizabeth also knew that the Boko Haram soldiers blended in with the people. Despite this, Elizabeth's heart burned with a desire to share the love of Christ. And she found it, the right opportunity. A box of New Testaments in her home that had been provided by supporters like you. Somehow they'd been overlooked by the Muslim soldiers. Elizabeth began to pray, asking God to show her how best to use the scriptures. The answer came, give them to the soldiers. It was a very dangerous mission for Elizabeth and her husband, knowing that they would be inevitably sharing God's word with dangerous killers. She obeyed and said with tears, some of the Boko Haram soldiers are coming to Christ. That's what can happen when God's people obediently and courageously share his word. Locally, our camp places both English and Spanish facilities testaments at Sentara, RMH. These come from the printer wrapped in cellophane for disease control purposes, and patients are urged to take them home when their stay is over. Our auxiliary distributes testaments to nurses at conventions and places Bibles at medical offices, pregnancy clinics, veterinary clinics, and lawyers' offices. Our once monthly jail ministry has just started up again after the pandemic, where we pray with inmates and supply both English and Spanish testaments to any inmate that desires one. May I add that Sheriff Hutchison is a committed supporter of the Gideon ministry. We also place the Bible in our local hotels and motels. Did you know that one hotel Bible has the potential to reach over 2,300 people in its lifespan? Research shows that 25% of hotel guests read the Bible. Sadly, we're only able to place Bibles in 80% of hotels worldwide, down from 95% a few years ago. This is a testimony of someone who life was changed as a result of a hotel Bible. Mrs. Tempe Brown grew up in the church. She'll tell you she knew about Jesus, just like she knew about Prince William, but she didn't know him. You can know about someone without really knowing them. Tempe married straight out of high school and had three children. It was a bad marriage. She moved to Oklahoma City and had to work two jobs to support her family. One of those jobs was as a nightclub singer. Being on the road, her family life suffered. She ended up sending her son back to his father and trying to raise her two girls. Both girls, however, ended up in prison. She lived in hotel rooms, often on the road for weeks at a time. She says, "You know what's in every hotel room? A Gideon Bible." She was searching for answers and began to read the Bible. She will say, "The Bible's the only book that when you read it, the author shows up." And speaking of the Holy Spirit. She says, John 3:19 spoke to her one night. "The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than light because their works were evil." She prayed on her knees for Jesus to come into her life, and she was transformed that night. She went back to the stage that evening and thought, "Wow, this place is awfully dark in here." Realizing now she had the light of the world inside her heart. She started telling everybody in the nightclub about Jesus, which got her fired. She left the band and started for Oklahoma, not knowing where she would end up. She contacted her best high school girlfriend who welcomed her in. Turns out she was a Christian. Over time, Tempe returned to one of her daughter's homes to live in South Carolina. Eventually, all her children and grandchildren have come to know Christ. One granddaughter and husband are church planters in Connecticut. And Tempe Brown is now a Christian author and speaker with her own ministry and website. God's word is not chained because of your prayers for the ministry. Please pray for continued open doors in our community, at our colleges, our hospital, our fair, our jail, our hotels and motels. Pray for more men and women to join the ministry. If you're interested in learning more about the Gideon ministry, see me or any of the five Gideons that are in your church. And to ease your mind, you don't have to be a speaker to join the Gideons. Don't worry about that. Pray that more churches will allow us to speak about what God is doing around the world. Another way to help is with the Gideon card program. Brother Rich Rhodes heads that up for us. And Gideon cards, which are in the back, come in two parts. This part you might want to send to someone that's experienced loss, death, in memory of someone, or we have in honor of, praying for you. Here you write, in memory of the person that's died, or you wish to honor, the number of Bibles you're sending, at $5 each, and then your name. Then you send that to the family. The second part is this envelope where you place your check in at $5 each for the number of Bibles you purchase. And it's self-addressed to the Gideons International. The bulletin insert that you have describes how you can give a gift through the mail website, QR code here. And the back describes how you can become a friend of the Gideons. As a friend, you receive the Gideon magazine and updates on prayer needs, and you're able to purchase New Testaments for your own personal witnessing. We also want to tell you about the Gideon Bible app. There's a few cards in the back, but all you have to do is go to the App Store for the Gideon Bible app. You download this, you have over 1,800 translations on your phone. Over 1,800 translations. Most of them, not only do you have the word, but are spoken. Someone is reading in that language, which is a very powerful witnessing tool. As you give to the ministry, 100% of all gifts go to purchase scripture for distribution. In conclusion, I want to emphasize that it is the power of God's word that transforms lives for Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Gideons are simply an outstretched arm of you, the church, who place the word and witness in the traffic lanes of life. I want to thank your leadership here and you as a congregation. Over the years, you've been very faithful and most generous to the Gideon ministry. Just want to thank you very much and appreciate your support. Blessings.
Thank you, Mr. Hill, for coming to share with us, and thank you for the work that's being done there. Much appreciated. Please turn in your Mennonite hymnal to number 585. The red hymnal, the Mennonite hymnal 585, Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing. Turn to number 84. Number 84.
Thank you.
If y'all ain't going up there, I'm not either. Thank you for the message, the mission for the Gideons. We bless you in that. May it go forward. We're going to move now into time of announcements. The youth has an announcement, so I'll invite you forward, President.
Good morning, everybody. I can't explain enough how much we thank you for coming out and supporting us Friday evening in our fundraiser. And I especially want to give a huge round of applause for Miss Bridget Showalter for putting it all together. So, thank you. So my goal was to reach $10,000, in which we hit it and surpassed that, raising over $13,000. So thank you all for raising, helping us get that. That should buy quite a few plane tickets and help us along the way. Sierra has an announcement for this Wednesday.
Hello. This Wednesday we will be hosting, we'll be doing a date night for all the parents, and we'll be hosting the kids at the church in the basement. We'll be playing games, so it'll be a really fun night. And then all the parents can go and have just a time out. And it'll be from 6:30 to 9, and that will be this Wednesday, so the 22nd. Thank you.
Thank you, DMC Youth. Does anyone have an announcement from the floor that you would like to make? I have a couple. Jake wasn't feeling well. He's not able to be here this morning and wanted to announce the We Care Banquet, which will be on Wednesday, March the 1st. And we're about halfway to the sponsorship that we were hoping to accomplish. So if you'd like to contribute, please do and call Jake for that. Also, an update on Faye Brubaker. Her pain is under control. She's doing pretty well. Still ways to go with therapy, but they're just very grateful that they were able to get an appointment for the surgery as quickly as they were. Be in prayer for the meat cannery this week. Our date is Tuesday from 6 a.m. till 8 p.m. See Leon Rhodes if you have questions regarding that. And also, tomorrow night, Carolyn Landis and Miriam Kreider will be going to the jail. Is that right, Carolyn? So we want to remember them in prayer. So with that being said, let's stand and we'll close with prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us another day. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for your love and care for us. We thank you for your church, and we just pray that the ministries would go forward. We pray for Carolyn and Miriam tomorrow night, that you would be preparing the hearts of the women in jail as they receive the gospel, that it would fall on the good ground, Lord. We pray for the meat cannery, that you would bless that, that it would go smoothly, that everything would go well there. Lord, just want to remember those among us that will be struggling with physical ailment. We just, especially our hearts go out to Brent Nicely and his cancer. Lord, we just ask that your grace would be upon his life, that you would be near and dear to him. And so as they walk through this journey, we pray for wisdom and discernment for doctors. We pray for those that might be struggling in other ways, Lord. We just ask that you would draw near to us as we seek to draw near to you. Above all, we thank you for our Lord Jesus, for the price that he paid at Calvary that is sufficient for wretched sinners like us. We thank you for that, and we praise you, Lord. And now we ask that you would make your face to shine upon us and give us peace as we go from here. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed. Go in peace.